If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. I had prepared to go a totally different direction this morning. I had prepared all week and just did not have any peace about it yesterday, and the Lord sent me in a little different direction. Our songs this morning have been about the freedom that we have in Christ. And truly He has, to all that have placed their faith in them, He has set us free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and one day will set us free forever from the presence of sin. I'm grateful for the redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the freedom that we have found in Him to live for Him and to bring Him glory with our life. I'm also grateful for the freedom that we have as citizens of this great nation. And I think yesterday I just really felt like the Lord would have me come back to a passage of Scripture that reminds us again of the freedom that we have in Christ and the freedom that we have as American citizens. In Mark chapter 14, and beginning in verse 3, the Bible says that, speaking of Jesus, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her." Jesus said that what this woman had done would be spoken of as a memorial of her. Everywhere that the gospel is preached, people would speak of what she did that day as a memorial of her, because she gave something that was very, very valuable. She gave probably what was her most valuable possession. And the story literally is about remembering the sacrifice that she made, remembering the sacrifice that she made to prepare Jesus for His burial. So it is a memorial of her sacrifice that was recorded in the Scriptures for us. Now, the Gospel of John identifies the lady for us. It tells us who she was. It was Mary. You know, Jesus had those close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He spent a good bit of time with them when He traveled through Bethany. That was His typical lodging place. Mary was the sister of Martha and Lazarus, and she is identified in the Gospel of John as this same woman, although John's Gospel records that she poured the ointment not just on his head but on his feet and wiped them with her tears. In John chapter 10, verse 30, or in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, she is the one that was sitting at Jesus' feet, the little daily devotional I do, sitting at His feet. That's the text that comes from. Martha was busied about serving, and she was angry because Mary wasn't helping, and all Mary wanted to do was sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him teach. In John, chapter 11, verse 32, she was the one that ran to Jesus and fell at His feet when Lazarus had died, weeping, and said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then John chapter 12, verse 3, she's the woman that anointed His feet and wiped them with her hair. So I said all that to say this: Mary spent a lot of her life at the feet of Jesus. She spent a lot of her life just bowing at His feet, hearing Him teach, worshiping Him, pleading with Him to help. She spent the majority of her life at the feet of her Master in sacrificial worship. And the ointment that she poured on Jesus' feet, some of the disciples that were there and saw what she did were angry that she had broken that box and poured it out on Jesus, because they said this could have been sold for literally what was a year's worth of wages. When He said 300 pence, that is the equivalent of the average man's annual wage in that day. And so if you just kind of break that down into terms that we might understand today, a bottle of perfume that costs $20,000 to $30,000. I don't know what the average salary is in our nation today. Probably the mean income is between $25,000 and $30,000. But imagine a bottle of perfume or ointment or essential oils that are so popular today being broken and poured out on Jesus' head and on Jesus' feet. And most of them thought it was a waste. They said, we could have sold that and given it to the poor, and it would have done so much more good if we had used it for that means. Now, I think if you read a little bit from the other accounts, Judas obviously had some alternative reasons for selling it. But what did Jesus say about the woman? What did he say about what she did? In verse 6, he said, she wrought a good work on me. She wrought a good work on me. She did something good for me. And in verse 8, he said, she has done what she could. She can't follow me to the cross. She can't do the work that God has called me to do, that the Father has sent me to do. But she has done what she could to prepare me for what the Father has in store for me. I'm drawing you into a point. Part of Israel's problems, if you will, when you get to the book of Judges, one of the things it says in the book of Judges is that there arose a generation who knew not God nor his wonderful works to the children of Israel. And they went away from God, they went away from his word, and they became bound up again. They found themselves in bondage. A lot of Israel's problems stemmed from the fact that they had a poor memory, that they didn't look back and reflect upon what their liberty had cost them, what their freedom had cost them, what God had done for them, and how they had been brought to these places. In fact, you'll find out if you read the scripture, that didn't just happen one time. That happened over and over and over. And every time they had that memory lapse, they would find themselves right back in bondage again. Israel's failure to remember was a big source of their failures in general. Now, it's Memorial Day weekend. It's Memorial Day weekend. And I'll be quite honest with you. I wish this wasn't the weekend this summer. I mean, we began to see Memorial Day weekend as the kickoff to summer. And I wish we'd move one or the other. Move Memorial Day away from the opening day of summer, or move the opening day of summer away from Memorial Day, because I think sometimes Memorial Day just gets drowned in the barbecues and, unfortunately, the beer fest and the ungodliness. And, I said it yesterday, it's a sad reality that all of the drunken parties this weekend will be full and many of the churches will be empty. And that's not a good way for us to celebrate Memorial Day. It's not a good way for us to remember that thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women have given their lives for the freedom that you and I are enjoying here this morning, for the liberties that we have kept now for some 243 years. And you can say this about our soldiers. They've wrought a good work for us. They have wrought a good work on us. They have provided for us. They have done for us what we did not have to do for ourselves. You might even say that they have done what they could. Nothing more could be given than what they have given. They gave it all. You know, I don't know how many of you have kept up with it. I'll be honest with you, I haven't, because I don't think our news does a good job of informing us. But do y'all know that there have already been 4 American soldiers that have died in combat situations in Afghanistan this year? Do you understand Afghanistan is the longest running war in American history? And what are we accomplishing? I mean, I don't even know what we're fighting for, do you? I'm not even sure what it's all about anymore. 4, and you say, boy, that's not bad. I guarantee you it's bad for a mama somewhere, or a daddy somewhere, or a wife somewhere, or a child somewhere. 13 died in 2018, 4 already this year. And on this Memorial Day, what we ought to be doing is reflecting upon the sacrifices that they made to gain our freedom. And you know what? What I see as America as a nation is that we are becoming more and more and more forgetful. And with that forgetfulness comes ingratitude. We are not grateful for what our freedoms have cost so many. And I don't mind telling you, when I see somebody being I don't worship our flag. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I have a Savior that I worship. But I'm proud of our heritage. I'm proud of who we are. And I'm certainly proud of and thankful for the price that have been paid. And so when people refuse to salute our flag or show reverence to our flag, it gives me kind of a sick feeling in my stomach and makes me angry. When people burn our flag, even though that may be a freedom that they feel like they have, it still disgusts me, because when they do that, I feel like they trample under their feet the blood of every soldier that gave his life for the freedoms that they are supposedly exercising. When people don't vote, it angers me, because that's a freedom that men and women fought and died for. When people don't worship, it bothers me, because that's a freedom that men and women have fought and died for. And we might ask ourselves this morning, why did they do what they do? Why did they take the risk? Why did they take the risk and then lose their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy? And I think if you look at Mary's example, for the same reason that she chose to give up her most valuable possession, she had to do what she could for the sake of the one that she loved so much. So do you understand, when the American soldier went into combat, signed literally a blank check that included, if necessary, the laying down of his life for us, they had to do what they could to save the one that they love, which was this nation that we call our home. And so for 243 plus years, America's heroes have been given everything. They've been leaving their families, they've been leaving their homes, they've been leaving their friends, they've been fighting and dying on fields of battle, on foreign soil, and in most of those cases, doing all they can do for the sake of those that they love. And the very least that we can do, the very least that we can do, is cherish and exercise the freedoms that they fought and died to preserve. And the very least that we can do is to pause on Memorial Day and reflect on the price that they paid for our freedom and be grateful as a nation. And I think, you know, we also ought to honor the fact that their families have made a huge sacrifice. You see it on Facebook, and part of the catalyst for me kind of just changing direction with my sermon, not only did I not feel a peace about it, I see people posting Happy Memorial Day, and I thought, you know, I'm happy for the freedom, but I'm not happy for what it cost many. And I thought about those moms and dads that every time, those that have lost a son, those that have lost a husband or a daughter, or a father, when they see Happy Memorial Day, how does that make them feel, knowing what this freedom cost them? Memorial Day means something. And so I want you this weekend, I want to challenge you this weekend to sit down with your family at some point and pause for a moment of prayer. And in that prayer, I want you to make sure your family here's you pray with gratitude for the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, and for those that were willing to give it all to do what they could to preserve our freedoms. Now, before we finish this morning, I want you to notice in our text that Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, verse 9, that wherever the gospel would be preached throughout all the world, that what Mary had done would be spoken of as a memorial of her. So Jesus linked Mary's gift with the gospel being preached. And I believe he meant more than just this story is going to be included in the sacred text of Scripture. I believe that what Mary did for Jesus pictures what Jesus did for the whole world. If you go back up into Mark chapter 14, verse 3, look what it says about Mary's ointment. It says that she came with this alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, which was very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. So here's what the Bible tells us about Mary's ointment. It was pure. I looked up the word spikenard. Spike literally means that it's been purified. Nard is actually the fragrance, and spike means that it was a pure fragrance. Now, we think a spike is different to something being diluted, but spike literally meant to be pure. That means there were no contaminants in it. There were no mixtures in it. It was pure. The Bible also told us that it was precious, which meant it was very valuable. It was valuable to the degree of it was worth a year's worth of wages that she was willing to give. It was valuable in the sense that the fragrance of it filled the whole room where they were sitting. It was precious in that regard. And then the Bible tells us that from a broken box, it was poured out onto the head and the feet of Jesus. Not everybody appreciated that. Not everybody was grateful for that, but Mary had to do what she could for the one that she loved. Now, you look at that picture for a minute and think about first our American soldiers. Think about those that died for the liberties. The sacrifice that they made was pure, not in the sense that those veterans, those that died on those foreign fields, were perfect in every way. But I believe you could say this about those that maybe didn't even know. I think about our Vietnam veterans. We have some of those sitting here this morning. Brother Harold Zachary is a Vietnam veteran. And I think about our Vietnam veterans. I'm not even sure we went into that war with a clear purpose in mind. But when our soldiers heard the call to stand for our country, they stood with a pure motive. They stood with a pure heart that we have been called to serve our nation. We don't understand. We trust those that are higher up than us to send us out to do a job, to do a mission. And they went at that mission with a pure heart. Their motivation to serve was pure. And what many of them gave was the very best that they had to give. All of them signed a blank check. All of them said, at the risk of my life, I'm signing this dotted line and I'm going into this field of battle, understanding what it might cost me. And what it might cost me is that is most precious. The Bible says that the life of all flesh is in the blood. There is no more substance on the face of this earth that is more precious than blood. It cannot be reproduced. In all of the medical science fields and all the technology, blood cannot be reproduced. We give it to one another. We have blood banks set up. It has to be donated. It cannot be artificially created. The life of all flesh, the scripture says, is in the blood. There is no more precious substance on the face of the earth than blood. And those soldiers went and poured out their blood. They spilled their blood for our sake. And now you consider, I believe what Jesus was saying in verse 9 is not only is what Mary did going to be preached everywhere the gospel is preached, but what Mary did is also a symbol, a type of what Christ did for us. Not just for you and me, but the Bible says for the whole world. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was pure. It was pure. It was blood that was undefiled by sin. He was not a sinner by birth. He was not a sinner by nature. He was sinless in every way. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect and pure sacrifice. It was precious because it was the blood of the only begotten Son of God. And it was poured out from a body that was torn by a whip, that was pierced by thorns, by nails, and by a spear. And just like not everybody appreciates what's been given for this nation, not everybody has appreciated, not everybody has appropriated the blood that Jesus poured out for us. But he chose to do all that he could do to save those that he loved. And that includes every person that has ever walked the face of the earth. Jesus, pure, precious blood was poured out for sin. Now, where does that leave us this morning? We know what Mary did for Jesus. We know what the soldiers did for America. And we know what Jesus did for everybody in this room and everybody in this world. But what are we going to do? When we stand before heaven's judgment seat one day, and we will, the Bible says that every man will stand and give an account before a holy God. We all will stand there one day. I wonder, will he say about us, they've done a good work for me. They have done a good work. They have wrought a good work. They have done what I needed for them to do, what I asked them to do. Or they say that all of our work has been, or will he say that all of our work has been self-centered? Will he say they have done what they could? Or will there be no sacrifices for him to remember? See, I really believe if we appreciate what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, our life ought to be, like Mary's life was, a memorial of sacrifice. We ought to be remembered for what we did to serve him. And having said that, in gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, I think our lives, we ought to endeavor with our lives to live in purity. We ought to endeavor to live pure lives. That the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we ought to present our bodies as holy, as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service because of what he has done for us. In gratitude to the Lord Jesus Christ, may our lives be precious. May they be like Mary's ointment, a valuable, fragrant witness to the glory of God that lives within us. May when we walk into a room, the fragrance of God emanate from our lives so that others would know that what we have in us is valuable. And may we be poured out. That means given all we are and all we have to the one who gave all he was and all he had for us. I'm going to leave you with this one verse of scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this: by him, that is by the Lord Jesus Christ, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So here's my question to you this morning. Are you grateful for the pure, precious, poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, without which you and I would never, ever, ever be saved? Without which you and I would never, ever, ever be free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, or from the presence of sin. Are you grateful for the pure, precious, poured out blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then what we ought to do is, with a pure life, with lips full of praise, pour out our lives for his glory. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Walk in his ways. Live for his glory. And he'll be honored. Our lives will become a memorial of the sacrifice that he made for us. You can put this one on record as the shortest sermon that I ever preached in my life, all right? But I think all that's been said, all that needs to be said has been said. We, as Christians, I'll never, ever, ever forget the price that was paid for our freedom. We as Americans ought never, ever, ever forget the price that was paid for our freedom as citizens in this nation. And I hope this weekend, and I understand it's the beginning of summer and we're going to enjoy some time with our family and our friends, and I don't have a problem with that. I think those that have given the ultimate sacrifice want us to enjoy the freedoms that we have. But somewhere along in this weekend, I think that we ought to have a sober, somber moment where we pause and reflect and give glory to the ones that gave their lives for our freedoms. Just for a few seconds now before Christy comes and leads an invitational hymn, if you have some soldiers who have, some of them may have died in combat, some of them may be just family members or friends that had served and have since passed and gone on. If you want to just remember them and for a few moments by lifting up their names to recollect them, to remember them, I want to just pause for a minute and do that. Then I'm going to ask you to stand and we're going to give thanks for them. And then I'm going to ask Christy to play an invitational hymn. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, he poured out pure, precious blood to save you, to save me, to save us from our sins. That blood is sufficient, but it has to be appropriated by you placing your faith in him. If God has dealt with your heart this morning and you believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross for your sins and who rose again on the third day, the Bible says that if you confess Him as Lord, that you will be saved. So just for a few moments, let's reflect on some of those that gave their lives for our nation, or who have died and who had served our nation and have now passed. Anybody? I remember Mr. Johnny Walton telling me the story of Charles Mullis, Millwood boy, went to Vietnam same time Johnny did. And Johnny always talked about what a good guy that he was. And Johnny had always looked back and wondered why he made it home and Charles didn't. He'd always call his name out on days like today. So remember Charles Mullis, one of those Millwood boys that never made it home. Anybody else? I'm sure some of our veterans this morning could call out a list of names. And I'm sure some of our men here, like Brother Harold, that's been in those combat situations, and I promise you they're grateful this morning that they made it back. And at the same time, there's a bittersweetness in that, because they left friends behind on those battlefields. And you understand, these boys are teenagers. Teenagers. You ever watch the video footage of the beaches of Normandy? Those were 16, 17, 18-year-old boys that died. We got a reason to be grateful this morning. They kept that battle on foreign soil. Let's stand. Have a moment of silence. Our musicians, if you will, you can go ahead and make your way to the stage and we'll have a moment of invitation. Father God, I can just in this few moments of silence, I remembered a number of years ago in a trip to Arlington National Cemetery. Standing at the tomb of the unknown soldier and looking out over that field of monuments, and how in the quietness of that moment, Lord, all of the laughter ceased. Just a hushed silence from everybody that was there. Pure reverence and pure gratitude, as it should be. Father, we don't worship our nation this morning because ultimately your word says that when it's all said and done, there's only one kingdom that will remain, and that's the kingdom that Christ has established with His own blood. We don't worship our nation or our flag, but we sure are grateful, Lord, that You've blessed us to be born into a land of freedom. And we know that it was purchased with pure motives and with precious blood that's been poured out. And so we pause this morning. Your word teaches us that it's appropriate for us to give honor to whom honor is due. And there's nobody in our nation today
that deserves to be honored more than those men and those women who have laid their lives down for the sake of their friends. Jesus, you said in your word, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Somebody said about our veterans that all gave some, and some gave all. We pause this morning just to give thanks, to remember, to be grateful for all that they've given for us. Help us, God, to cherish our freedoms, to protect our freedoms, to exercise our freedoms. Help us to preserve, Lord, what's been given to us. And Father, we thank you more than the sacrifice of those men and women gave their lives for our temporal freedoms. We thank you for that pure, precious Lamb of God who laid his life down on an old rugged cross, who poured out his blood so that we might be eternally free, so that we might be a part of a kingdom that will never, ever, ever end. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and his sacrifice for us. And I pray, Lord, as we have a moment now of invitation, there may be somebody in this building this morning that's never really considered what Jesus did for them, what he offers to them. I pray that, God, you would draw them to yourself this morning, as you have all of us that have been born again. Convict of sin, convince of judgment, and point them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where your judgment was satisfied and where our sin was punished, and lead them to a place of faith and repentance and liberty, I pray. Have your will and your way, in Jesus' name, amen.
What will it be like when my pain is gone? All the worries of this world just fade away. And what will it be like when you call my name? In that moment when I see all of heaven's angels crying out, singing, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord, singing, holy.
Father, I pray that one day that you'd be able to say of every one of us that we have wrought a good work for your glory, that we have done what we could to point other people to the sacrifice that you've made for us. Help us to be good citizens of the eternal kingdom that we are a part of, and help us to be good citizens, Lord, of this free nation that we've inherited because of the sacrifice of others. Pray that you go with us, Lord, as we leave. Watch over us this weekend. Keep us safe. Keep our family safe. Keep our friends safe. And I pray that you'd make us more grateful. Don't ever let us forget. Help us to cherish and protect what's been given. In Jesus' name, amen.